Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, Om Ganatum Dandasha Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, let us continue with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so, tomorrow, during this same time, we're not going to have the Chaitanya Charitamrita reading, but there's going to be a very special dance performance and drama of the Mukta Charita that's going to be done in front of the deities in the temple. So you'll get a chance to watch that. That's tomorrow evening or tomorrow morning, your time in Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji. And it'll be the same exact time. Probably take a little bit more than an hour. But it'll be a dance performance of the Mukta Charita. And the Mukta Charita is the pearl pastime, that is the interaction between Krishna and the gopis and the growing of the pearls. I'm not going to give away the story, but it's a very important, wonderful story. It's also on Sunday. Don't worry, Rishikesh. I know what I'm saying. So it is on Sunday. It will be done at 4 o'clock, but that's not going to be online. Tomorrow it's going to be done just for the deities, and you're all going to get a chance to see it. 4 o'clock for the Gaur Purnima festival, but that's not online. That's in our hall. And 5 o'clock, well, whatever. Whatever time it is for all of you tomorrow, online. So you can watch it. It's going to be a very exciting performance. And we'll have all the different cameras in the temple room, so there'll be multi-views of different cameras so you can see the performance. I'll probably be operating the cameras. Okay, so on that happy note, we'll go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading from the 17th chapter of the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is the last chapter in the Adi Leela. And it's a lot of verses. There's over 300 verses in this chapter, so it'll take us a while to finish the chapter. And let's share the screen and start reading. So, I believe we're on text 112, yes. Text 112 is the next one. So let me set this up. Okay. Now, of course, this is the story about the astrologer who saw that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I was a coward boy in my last life. You got it wrong. But actually, Lord Chaitanya was a coward boy during his last appearance. That is a fact. And not only was he a coward boy, he is Krishna. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so sarvagya kahe hami taha dhyane dekhilan dahate aishwarya dekhi panapara hahilan. The astrologer said, what I saw in meditation was full of opulence, and therefore I was confused. I think we read that one already. Yeah, anyway, we'll read it again. It appears that the astrologer not only was a knower of past, present, and future, through astrological calculation, but was a great meditator as well. Therefore, he was a great devotee and could see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the same personality as Krishna. He was puzzled, however, about whether Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were actually the same person. Se rupe, e rupe, deki, e kakara, kabubeda, deki, e mayaya, tumara. I am certain that your form and the form I saw in my meditation are one and the same. If I see any difference, this is an act of your illusory potency. So, Prabhupada states that Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. In the vision of a perfect devotee, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combination of Radha and Krishna. One who sees Lord Chaitanya to be different from Krishna is under the illusory energy of the Lord. It appears that the astrologer was already an advanced devotee, and when he came into the presence of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became perfectly self-realized and could see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one and the same person. So, of course, there's that statement, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya, that Radha and Krishna have appeared together in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Yehau, sehau, tumi tomaki namaskara, Rabutari Premadiya Koila Puraskara. The all-knowing astrologer concluded, whatever you may be or whoever you may be, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. By his causeless mercy, the Lord gave him love of Godhead, thus rewarding him for his service. The incident of Lord Chaitanya's meeting with the all-knowing astrologer is not mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, but we cannot therefore say that it did not take place. On the contrary, we must accept the statement of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that whatever the Chaitanya Bhagavat did not mention, he has especially mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Egadina Prabhu Vishnu Manda Bevasya Madhuana Madhuana Balena Dakya. One day the Lord sat down in the corridor of a Vishnu temple and began calling very loudly, bring me honey, bring me honey. Nityananda Goshani Prabhura Vesha Janila Ganga Jala Patrahani Sammukhe Darila. Nityananda Prabhu Goshani, understanding the ecstatic mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, brought a pot of Ganges water as a token and put it before him. Jalapana kariya nache hana vivola yamuna karshana lila dikhaya sakala. After drinking the water, Lord Chaitanya became so ecstatic that he began to dance. Thus everyone saw the pastime of attracting the river Yamuna. So Prabhupada explains this pastime nicely in the purport. Yamuna Karshana Lila is the pastime of attracting the Yamuna. One day, Sri Baladev wanted the Yamuna River to come before him, and when the river Yamuna refused, he took his plow, wanting to dig a canal so that the Yamuna would be obliged to come there. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the original form of Baladev in his ecstasy, he asked everyone to bring honey. In this way, all the devotees standing there saw the Yamuna Karshana Lila. In this Lila, Baladev was accompanied by his girlfriends after drinking a honey beverage called Varuni. He wanted to jump into the Yamuna and swim with the girls. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, the 65th chapter, 25 to 30th text and 33, that Lord Baladev asked the Yamuna to come near, and then when the river disobeyed the order of the Lord, he became angry and thus wanted to snatch her near to him with his plow. The Yamuna, however, very much afraid of Lord Balaram's anger, immediately came and surrendered unto him, praying to the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and admitting her fault. She was then excused. This is the sum and substance of the Yamuna Karshana Lila. The incident is also described in the prayer of Jayadev Goswami concerning the 10 incarnations. Vahasi vapu shivishade vasanam jalat dabham. Halahati bita milita yamudna bam. Keshavadrita haladaro rupa jaya jagadisha hade. Excuse me. And actually, there's a little bit more to the story the Prabhupada didn't tell here. The Varuni beverage, which Balaram and his girlfriends were drinking, was an intoxicant. And so Balaram's eyes were rolling, and he wanted to go swimming in the Yamuna, and the Yamuna refused to come, and he got angry with the Yamuna, and he used his plow, as Prabhupada described here. However, one may ask, what is this intoxication? Well, in this material world, we have intoxication. But this intoxication in this world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual realm. So therefore, when one engages in intoxication in this world, it puts one into an illusion within the illusion. Okay, what do I mean by that? Let's take the example of a dream at night. Okay. During the day, you all, think that you're the body. And you think, oh, I am this nationality, that nationality, whatever nationality you happen to be, or I'm male, or I'm female, or somewhere in between. That's during the day. And then at night, you have a dream, and you think you are someone else. You think you're a bird flying in the air. You think you're a dog. You think you're a demigod. Whatever you think you are doing, you think you're a young man again or a young lady again. So you're thinking about all these things in your dream or dreaming about all these things. I mean, it appears real. So that's an illusion within an illusion. So you're already an illusion, and then you go into another illusion when you're dreaming. And sometimes in a dream, you have a dream of a dream within the dream. So that's an illusion within the illusion within the illusion. Okay, got it. And so intoxication puts you not exactly in a dreaming state, depending on what type of intoxication someone takes, but it puts you into a state of altered consciousness, so you are detached from this illusion in the material world, and you go into another illusion. Okay, got it. So that's an illusion within an illusion. You think things about yourself, you think things about others that are not real. Whatever it is, it's an illusion within an illusion. However, in the spiritual realm, you have intoxication too, and it doesn't put one into an illusion. It just deepens one's ras with Krishna. That's all, because Krishna also gets intoxicated in the spiritual world. Sometimes he's drinking, like described here, honey wine. And Balaram is drinking the Varuni beverage. And so it's hard to understand. But more when people, or sure, pure devotees and Krishna get intoxicated in the spiritual world, it brings out their relationship. Anyway, don't try to understand it, because we're not in the spiritual world. Take it for granted that everything in this world, as described by Krishna in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, is a perverted reflection, upside-down reflection of everything in the spiritual world. So don't take intoxication of any sort. Remember that. Any sort. Coffee, tea, cigarettes, or whatever. So Madamata Gati Baladevanukara Acharya Shekara Tanre Deke Ramakara. When the Lord, in his ecstasy of Baladev, was moving as if intoxicated by the beverage, Dvaitacharya, the chief of the Acharyas, Acharya Shekara, saw him in the form of Balaram. Vanamali Acharya Deke Sunara Langala Sabe milin richa kare avesha vivala. Vanamali Acharya saw a golden plow in the hand of Balaram, and the devotees all assembled together and danced overwhelmed by ecstasy. Ematan richa hila chari prahara sanjaya ganga snana kari sabe gira hurra. In this way, they danced continuously for 12 hours. In the evening, they all took a bath in the Ganges and then returned to their homes. Wow, it sounds like so much fun being part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. I wish I was there. And actually, by hearing from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, you are transported to where those pastimes are taking place. Nagariya loke prabhu yave ajna dila gare gare sankirtana karite la gila. The Lord ordered all the citizens of Navadvip to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and in each and every home they began performing sankirtan regularly. Haraye nama Krishna yadavaya namaha Gopal Govindaram Srimadhu Sudan. All the devotees sang this popular song along with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Haraye nama Krishna yadavaya namaha Gopal Govindaram Srimadhu Sudan. Mridanga Karatala Sankirtana Mahadhwani Huri Huri Dwani Vina Anye Nahi Shuni. When the Sankirtan movement thus started, no one in Navadvip could hear any sound other than the words Huri Huri and the beating of the mridangas and clashing of handbells. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness now has its world headquarters, a world center in Navadvip, Mayapur. The managers of this center should see that 24 hours a day there is chanting of the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, with the addition of Haraye Namaha, Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. For this song was a favorite of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, but all such sankirtan must be preceded by the chanting of the holy names of the five tattvas. That's the Pancha Tattva. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. We are already accustomed to chant these two mantras, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, and Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now after these, the other two lines, namely, Haraye Nama, Krishna Yadavaya Nama, Gopala Govinda Rama, Sri Madhu Sudan. Sometimes we chant, Haraye, Haraye, Nama Krishna. Yeah. Sometimes you add a little Hare. Haraye, Haraye, Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya, Kesavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya, Kesavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram, Sri Madhu Sudan. Giridhari Gopinath. Marana Mohan Giridhari Gopinath Marana Mohan. Should be added, especially in Mayapur. Chanting of these six lines should go on so perfectly well that no one there hears any vibration other than the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That will make the center spiritually all perfect. Shuniya ye kruda haela sakalayavana kajivashyasi sabe kaila nivedana. Hearing the resounding vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, the local Muslims, greatly angry, submitted a complaint to the Qazi. Qazi was the local Muslim magistrate. Oh, Prabhupada explains that. The Paujudhara, or city magistrate, was called the Qazi. The Jamindaras, that Zamindaras, or landholders, Mantaleras, levied taxes on the land, but keeping law and order and punishing criminals was the duty entrusted to the Qazi. Both the Qazi and the landholders were under the control of the governor of Bengal, which at that time was known as Subah Bongala. Phew. Sounds frightening. The districts of Nadia, Islampura, and Bogoyana were all under the zamindar named Harihar Hoda, or his descendant known as Hoda Krishna Das. Well, that's nice. It is said that Chankazi was the spiritual master of Nawab Hussein Shah. Wow. According to one opinion, his name was Molana Sirajuddina. It's interesting. And according to another, his name was Habibara Rahomana. Descendants of Chankazi are still living in the vicinity of Mayapur. People still go to see the tomb of Chankazi, which is underneath a Champaka tree and is known as Chankazi's Samadhi. It's interesting. Okay. Krode Sanja Kale Kaji Ekagare Oila Mridanga Bangiya Loke Kahita Lagila. Chankazi angrily came to one home in the evening, and when he saw kirtan going on, he broke a mridanga and spoke as follows: Eta Kala Kaya Nahi Koila Hindu Yani Ebe Ye Ujama, Chalao, Kara, Bala, Jani. For so long you did not follow the regulated principles of the Hindu religion, but now you are following them with great enthusiasm. May I know by whose strength you are doing so? It appears that from the aggression of Bhaktiyar Kiliji in Bengal, until the time of Chankazi, Hindus or the followers of the Vedic principles were greatly suppressed. Like the Hindus in present-day Pakistan, practically no one could execute the Hindu religious principles freely. Chankazi referred to this condition of Hindu society. Formerly, the Hindus had not been straightforward in executing their Hindu principles, but now they were freely chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, it must have been by the strength of someone else that they were so daring. Actually, that was a fact. Although the members of the so-called Hindu society had followed the social customs and formulas, they had practically forgotten to execute their religious principles strictly. But with the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they actually began following the regulated principles according to his order. That order is still existing, and anywhere and everywhere in all parts of the world, one can execute it. That order is to become a spiritual master under the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by following the regulated principles, chanting daily at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness all over the world. If we stick to the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we shall get spiritual strength without a doubt, and we shall be free to preach this cult of Hare Krishna movement and not be hampered by anyone. Ecstatical. Keha kirtana na kariha sakala na kare ajiyame kshama shamma kare yaiti chongare. No one should perform Sankirtan in the streets of the city. Today I am excusing the offense and returning home. Such orders, stopping Sankirtan in the streets of the world's great cities, have been imposed upon members of the Hare Krishna movement. We have hundreds of centers all over the world, and we have been specifically persecuted in Australia. In most cities of the Western world, we have been arrested many times by the police, but we are nevertheless executing the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting on the streets of all important cities such as New York, London, Chicago, Sydney, Melbourne, Paris, and Hamburg. We must remember that such incidents took place in the past 500 years ago, and the fact that they are still going on indicates that our Sankirtan movement is really authorized, for if Sankirtan were an insignificant material affairs, demons would not object to it. The demons of the time tried to obstruct the Sankirtan movement started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similar demons are trying to obstruct the Sankirtan movement we are executing all over the world. And this proves that our Sankirtan movement is still pure and genuine, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I want to tell you an inside story about the Kazi, the Chan Kazi, harassing the devotees, because it's an important part of the story. So Chan Kazi all of a sudden comes, and he breaks the Murdanga, and he gets really angry. He says, no more chanting. So why did he do that all of a sudden? I mean, what was his problem? Was it because he was a Muslim? No. The actual reason that he did that was because the Hindus complained. They were complaining that we, that means devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were disturbing the Lord by chanting his name loudly. They were taking the Lord as some common person. For example, if someone were to chant my name loudly, I'd get disturbed. You know, stop it already. I got other things to do in life. You know, it gets improper to chant a person's name or yell a person's name. Just like you have, you know, sometimes devotees go, Gauranga! So if they did that with me, I would be very disturbed. So if that person said, Mere Krishna Maharaj! Mere Krishna Maharaj! I would be extremely upset and disturbed and say, what do you want? Just leave me alone already. So they are taking the Lord as an ordinary person, because the Lord is there in his holy names, and it's his injunction, Haranam, Haranama, Haranama, Ivakevalam, Kalona, Stavana, 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 Gati, Ranyata. In this age of Kali, just chant the holy names, chant. Oh, that's the only way, is chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, in this way, the so-called Hindus, or so-called followers of the Vedic principles, which they weren't, actually went to the Kazi and complained. So it wasn't that the Kazi had anything against Sankirtan, or whether he did or not is not the issue. It's the Brahmins, the so-called Brahmins. They went and complained. And sometimes we find in other parts of the world, I mean, there's one country, it shall remain nameless right now, where devotees can't go in to the country. I mean, once devotees go into the country, if they're there, they can preach. But the local Brahmin organization actually forced the immigration department to prohibit devotees from coming in. So when I go to that country, I have to take my neck beads off and make believe that I'm a demon to go into that country. Actually, two countries it happened in. One country I can mention, because it's no longer there. It's no longer happening that they're prohibiting devotees. And the other country I can't mention. It's somewhere else in the world. So anyway, better I don't mention, because it just creates some political problems if I mention the countries. So in any case, yeah, I remember I had to take my neck beads off, and they looked at me and said, are you Hare Krishna? I said, Hare Krishna? What's that? I'm coming here on vacation. So, anyway, so many times it's the local brahmanas who are interfering with our Krishna consciousness much more than people of other religions. So, arayari kirtana karite lagapaimu sarvasva dandiyaktara jatiye laimu. The next time I see someone performing such sankirtan, I shall certainly chastise him by not only confiscating all his property, but also converting him into a Muslim. Oh my God! And this is interesting. To convert a Hindu into a Muslim was an easy affair in those days. If a Muslim simply sprinkled water on the body of a Hindu, it was supposed that the Hindu had already become a Muslim. During the transition of the British in Bangladesh during the last Hindu-Muslim riots, many Hindus were converted into Muslims by having cow's flesh forcibly pushed into their mouths. Hindu society was so rigid at the time of Lord Chaitanya that if a Hindu were converted into a Muslim, There was no chance of his being reformed. In this way, the Muslim population in India increased. None of the Muslims came from outside. You know, the invaders came from outside, but majority of people, they weren't from outside. Social customs, somehow or other, forced Hindus to become Muslims with no chance of returning to Hindu society. Emperor Aurangzeb, who's considered an incarnation of Kamsa, also inaugurated a tax that Hindus had to pay because of their being Hindus. Also, sometimes you couldn't get a job if you were Hindu. Also, sometimes you were beaten up if you were a Hindu, discriminated against. So obviously, people wanted to convert. Thus, all the poor Hindus of the lower class voluntarily became Muslims to avoid the tax. In this way, the Muslim population in India increased. Chankazi threatened to convert the people into Muslims by the simple process of sprinkling water on their bodies. There's one story, and it's about a devotee named Subhuti Roy. Yeah, Subhuti Roy. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, of course. And he, let's say, there was the Kazi who was previously his servant when he was young. Oh yeah, here's the story. Kazi was previously a servant, and somehow or other he had hit the Kazi one time and left a mark on the Kazi's back. So later on, the Kazi became the Kazi. All right. That means the guy in charge. But he still likes Subhuti Roy. But when the Kazi's wife, the Kazini, I don't know if it's called Kazini, saw the mark on her husband's back, she said, "How did that happen?" And then he described it happened because he was beaten by Subhuti Roy. And then the wife said, "You got to kill him." And he said, "I'm not going to kill him. I like him." And the wife said, "Then just convert him to a Muslim." So he converted him to a Muslim by sprinkling water on him. And Subhuti Roy was very upset, and he thought, "What should I do?" And he went to the local brahmanas for some prayaschitta, atonement. And they said, "You got to drink molten metal or something like that." And he thought, "You know, well, that's not going to work." And finally, he was informed by Lord Chaitanya's devotees that simply he had to chant Hare Krishna, and that would be enough reformation. And in the Bhagavatam, it states that in the sixth canto, Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnor Jangamangalam Agnasa Mahatamapi Kauravya Vijayakantika Nishkritam. The topmost type of atonement is the chanting of the Lord's holy names. Vijayakantika Nishkritam. All right, so let's read few more verses. We're going to end a little early today because I'm pretty tired and I just got back from traveling and haven't eaten yet. Etabali kashi gela nagariya loka prabhustane nivedila parnabada shoka. After saying this, the Kazi returned home and the devotees, greatly shocked at they are forbidden to chant Hare Krishna, submitted their grief to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhu agya dila yaha karaha kirtana muni samharimu aji sakala yavana. Lord Chaitanya ordered, "Go perform Sankirtan. Today I shall kill all the Muslims." Purport. Gandhi is known for having started the movement of nonviolent civil disobedience in India, but about 500 years before him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his movement of nonviolent civil disobedience to the order of Chankazi. It is not necessary to commit violence to stop the opposition from hindering a movement, for one can kill their demoniac behavior with reason and argument. Following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever there are obstacles, the Hare Krishna movement should kill the opposition with reason and argument and thus stop their demoniac behavior. If we became violent in every case, it would be difficult for us to manage our affairs. We should therefore follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, disobey the order of Chankazi, but subdue him with reason and argument. So that's the point. We kill the demoniac mentality by purifying their hearts and souls. So what I'm going to do is stop reading now. We'll take maybe one question, and then we'll end early today. And as I mentioned, tomorrow we have a special dance performance, which is also going to be done on Sunday, but at the same time that we usually start this class, there'll be a dance performance by Champaka Latha, Devi Dasi, Dansi Dasi, and her troupe. And that dance play performance will be the Mukta Charita, the Pearl Pastime. It's going to be simply wonderful, so we invite you all to watch. And actually invite your friends at the same time, please. That would be very nice. Invite your friends to watch. It'll be on this particular Zoom channel and also on my YouTube channel and also on my Facebook page. So you're invited to watch. So just we'll take one question right now. And wait a second, let me unmute you. Okay, let me put the speaker on. Hold on a second, I gotta. Okay, who has a question? Anybody have a question? No one. No one has a question.
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. I'll wish to Prabhupada.
Okay, Govinda. So, Prime Govinda.
If no one has, I have a question.
Okay. Everybody's entertained by your questions. That's why they want you to ask questions. So, what's your question?
Maharaj, bringing back yesterday's question that non-dual substance, Supreme Absolute Truth is a non-dual substance, even though there is a variety within this non-dual.
Yeah.
So, when he takes the mood of Nrisimhadev, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the mood of Nrisimhadev, the form is always eternally there within him too.
Yes, but he doesn't manifest the form. He didn't manifest it when he was in Navadvip.
Okay.
That's up to him.
Okay.
That's up to him.
Correct. Yeah. Just to understand that.
That's up to him. He's independent. He's Swarat. So he can decide to manifest that form or not manifest that form. Yeah.
Yes, Maharaj. I was just thinking like you are coming to Chand Kaji's meeting with Lord Chaitanya eventually, probably within few days.
Yeah.
But I was referring with Gopal Chapal. He also addressed Lord Chaitanya as a nephew. It seems like there is a physical relationship, and then there is a social relationship, and there is an eternal relationship.
Yeah.
So in the social relationship, Gopal Chapal, I remember you read it, that he addressed Nimai as a nephew.
Right.
But seems like it did not help him to, in the beginning, it did not help him to get out of suffering with this worm and the paws. And I mean, he was severely. So my point here that this relationship is not relevant to eternal relationship or.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Advaitacharya had three sons who he rejected, who became demoniac, who took to impersonalism. Krishna had a son that he had to kill.
Narakasura, yes.
Yeah, so that relationship, the physical relationship or village relationship, may have no bearing upon any eternal relationship. Or it may or may not, depending on the person's attitude.
So then how do you reconcile that when someone is a Mahabhagavat, 21 generation, what is that? That's a physical relationship, blood?
Yeah, physical relationship. That they're the 21 generation, sometimes they say 11, 21, whatever it is, they're liberated, but that doesn't mean they become pure devotees. Liberated means they're freed from karma and given the opportunity to become devotees.
I see.
That's the point. We oftentimes misunderstand the context in which the word liberated is used. Sometimes liberated means becoming a pure devotee, and sometimes it means just like going to Brahman, and sometimes it means just being freed from karma.
You made it very clear. I remember a couple of weeks back that the bhakti is intentional. It's a conscious choice.
No, Krishna never drags you back to Godhead.
I see. So even if I was born in your family or Prabhupada's family, doesn't really mean much unless I accept consciously Krishna consciousness and try to purify my consciousness.
That's right. Actually, one of Prabhupada's sons wanted nothing to do with Krishna consciousness.
That is true. I met him, Maharaj. Yes, you are right. You are right.
And what to speak of God's sons, like Advaitacharya's sons, three of them he just rejected. He didn't even consider them to be his sons anymore. So
It's a little
it's
shocking, but it's a little shocking, Maharaj. Yes, but I understand finally by your mercy that everybody has an individual conscious decision they have to make.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. As far as parents rejecting children, I've seen that happen in India before. Even in the modern world, I'm sure you've seen it too. Like I've gone over houses of people who had children, and the children married someone, outside of the caste or something like that. And I asked the parents about the child, and they said, "We never had a child." They denied knowledge of having that particular child.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. Seen that happen in India. Phew. Okay, I think we have to end now because I came back late and I definitely have to get things together so I don't go to sleep too late. And tomorrow we have a big day, and Sunday here is Gaur Purnima, and we're gonna have a big festival on Gaur Purnima. You're all invited. That will be online beginning at 5 o'clock on Sunday. And tomorrow we will have the dance. And don't worry, I am not dancing. That would be a disaster. We're having expert dancers. Actually, the best dancer in the world, Champakalata, and her troupe are going to be dancing and doing this Muktacharita. It's ecstatic. I can't wait. Actually, I requested that they would do this, and they, being humble Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, agreed to do it. Okay, thank you very much. We'll see everybody tomorrow during the dance play performance. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.